Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's recording of the Ought to Know Better podcast, where we are joined by Danny from NALP. Danny, how are you doing?
Okay, is that an answer? I'm surviving. Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do. I think
still a bit.
I think that's about as good as we can hope for at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marty, okay or worse?
Hello, how are you? I'm all right. What's up? When you said NALP, it sounds like some sort of STD clinic.
Yeah.
That's what I was going for. People need a cream just to get rid of us.
Is that the vibe this morning? This happened this morning?
Just an irritating...
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this!
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
The utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
So, unfortunately, yes. We are here to talk about the Blackburn game. And we can't get away from it. So, we're just going to have to rip that plaster off and get into it.
Band-aid.
So, yeah, band-aid. So, let's talk about the lineup first. So I think there was a general feeling of positivity around Conor Roberts' involvement in the game. I think people were looking for changes. I think Gruev coming back into the side, people wanted to keep him in, thought he'd done all right last time out. But with Roberts coming back in, that meant Gray going into midfield. So I think that was, you know, that was accepted and that was expected and that people were thinking that that were positive. And then there was the Bamford bit and a lot of pressure for changes to be made up front. Did it come out, Danny, I'll come to you first. Did it come out like Brexit was? That's not the change you wanted, because I think people wanted Joseph and not Peru. Is that fair?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, mate. But I was happy with the lineup and the changes. I welcomed them. I was like, I will talk about it later on, like, but as the game went on, I thought, Yeah, I was more than happy with the lineup, mate.
Fair enough. And Smarty, was Dan James unlucky to miss out?
I don't know, really.
Thanks for your insight, mate.
Because we said, didn't we, on the podcast before, that you know, the ones that we wanted, the ones that we expected, is probably for Bamford to be dropped and for Kamara to be dropped. And that happened. You know, Roberts came into the fold. Archie Gray moved up into midfield with Gruev, and everyone was like, oh, this seems like, you know, a better option. So I didn't really give a shit who started on wings. To be fair, I've been calling for Somerville to be dropped, privately, perhaps more than publicly on here. But I think Somerville's been absolutely fucking garbage for the last few weeks. And I don't know how in Christ's name, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more depth, but I have no idea how Nonto and Gruev got subbed and Somerville stayed on the frigging pitch. Not a clue. Not a clue. I mean, to be fair to Farke, he made the decision to substitute at relatively good times when it started to kind of fall away from us, and try and bring a little bit more youth with Matteo Joseph and a little bit of a more spark from us. But taking Nonto off, Nonto were our best player yesterday, and I just couldn't understand the thought process behind it. I really couldn't, because Somerville, time after time after time, just does too much, runs into trouble, and has to cut back of himself because he's always got too much. He's just run himself into a middle of frigging load of players trying to do fancy fucking tiki-taka football with Rutter, and they're both fucking pony at the minute, so I don't know why. You know, I thought Perreault did all right, actually. I didn't think he played bad at all. I think as a team, we were average, but I don't think, you know, I'm not going to send any shit Perreault's way. I ain't even going to give any shit to Bamford, which a lot of people seem to be doing as well. And I'm not Bamford's biggest fan.
You're not. You're absolutely not. You know, I think you could be described significantly differently to the way that you might do if you had been a fan. So I think that's all fair. So I would have stuck with Bamford, and I know that I'm in a minority there, but I would have stuck with him. And
I think we did say on the podcast that me and you were on, I think we both agreed that we'd stick with Bamford because we didn't see Bamford being an impact sub, which was the case.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're fine. But I also think that what we talked about was making changes earlier if it wasn't going our way. Mm. And the Bamford coming off at 60 minutes and Joseph coming on was seen as a positive sub and kind of lifted people in the way that we'd seen before with Joffy and so on, that there was a bit of an impact coming from it, a bit of an air of expectation, a bit of momentum building with Joseph. So I think, you know, in terms of the overall feel of the game, I'm just going to pop up just a couple of things. So stats, 75% possession, 19 shots to 3, 5 shots on target to 2, 12 corners to their 1. And, you know, they had 3 times as many fouls as we did. And then we look at the momentum and, you know, the top of that graph is us and the bottom of that graph is them. And that's not just having the ball. It's not just possession. It's also meaningful possession. It's possession in the right areas of the pitch. The longer the bar goes on the graph, the more it is that you are in an attacking position. And I think if we look at those things, Danny, I'll come back to you on this one. There have been some particularly reactive and reductive comments from some people that I've seen about Farke. For a side to dominate so totally and completely as that, does the manager share a lot of that burden, or is that just down to the players on the pitch?
See, personally, it goes, you know, some ways, like personally, for myself, I think it is Farke picks a team and he can only do so much until they cross that line, that white line on the pitch, you know, and then it's down to the players to incorporate and, you know, and carry out his instructions and how he wants to play. But at the same time, sometimes players do have to think outside the box and do their own thing. I think everyone shares the blame, especially Farke with his substitutions as of late. You know, he's like 82nd minute of the other game that Joseph were coming on. Now, just to touch on what you said about Joseph, like people wanting Joseph to start, there should be a bit of context for that, because he's been coming on at 30 minutes, 20 minutes, when players have been run ragged by Bamford before that. So that does need to have a bit of context for that. And
not even that, mate. He's been getting 10, 15 minutes, not 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And let's not forget, he hit the post against, was it Hull, I think it was, from 6 yards out. Hmm. I just think Bamford's just not been getting the rub of the green. And I just think he's a confidence player, is Bamford. And, you know, he don't have confidence right now, but well, I think everyone should.
Sorry, mate. I thought you'd finished.
No, I have.
Oh, you guys were on Leeds House just before you came on here, and I put a question to you, but no one answered, because I think you'd got to that point where you were all ready for slitting your own wrists. But I did
say, or it was just bullshit. We'll let you know in a minute.
No, you decide. I'll ask the same question. Does Bamford get enough service?
No.
No, he doesn't.
So there you go, then. So we're taking we're taking our fucking aggression, well, not aggression, but we're moaning about Bamford constantly and this and the other, blah, 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 blah. The poor bastard don't get any service. And let's be honest, I'm not one of Bamford's biggest supporters. I like the guy. I think he's a fucking quality bloke. But I don't think he's very good for us. I don't think he's very effective for us. He's scored a few goals this season. Fantastic. But when you've got greedy bastards like Rutter and Somerville playing the fucking between them constantly, all the time, it's so frustrating to see him because Bamford usually gets into some good positions and 6 or 7 times out of 10, the snapshots because he's getting them either too late or they're not where he wants them or, you know, and you have to feel for the guy. You do have to feel for the guy. He's managed to score some really good goals this season. But Somerville's absolutely fucking shite at minute. It looks good. You know, he'll do a few flicks, he'll take it round one player, then he'll try and do it a few round, you know, a few more, and then he'll have to come back because he's done too much and he's got himself into a little corner at pitch or right to edge at 6-yard line where there's about 4 players just like, you're not coming through us. And he's gone, shit, so I'm going to pass it back to Firpo who's tried to overlap me, or he's had to pass it back to fucking, well, normally it's Kamara, and he'll pass it back to defence. You know, it was so poor in final third at minute. But you look at the other teams around us, they're exactly the same. The only one that showed a glimmer of form is Southampton. And they're not great. Do you know what I mean? They're not fantastic. I saw something that hardly any of the, I think only one team out of the top 3 positions in each league this weekend have won a game. Everyone suffers Man City. With a little bit of, yeah, Man City. So everyone suffers with a little bit of, you know, pressure and stuff like that. Ipswich have done, Leicester are absolutely shite at the minute. You know, but everyone said, oh, we fucked it, we're in playoffs. It is not done yet. It will go down to the last fucking game of the season. I absolutely, 100%, hand on heart, think it will do. And Southampton have got some really tough fixtures as well coming up. You know,
well, they haven't, really they've got Leicester.
yeah, they have got Leicester, but they've got us as well. So you know, we'll have to, you know, it's going to be a very interesting.
They play twice.
They play Tuesday. We don't play till next Monday.
Yeah,
we don't play till next Monday. If they win both their games in hand, they will go above us.
No, they won't.
So they're only 6 points.
Our goal difference. Our goal difference is better than them.
Well, it depends how many they win it by.
yeah,
true.
If they're winning 9-0, you know. They'll be close.
I don't think it's a crazy shout to say that Southampton could be up there.
Their goal difference is 27, ours is 42.
Yeah.
Exactly. They could score 20 goals.
They're not going to go above us. So then, you know, they've brought themselves back in. But I can't see Southampton winning both games in hand. I can't see. I don't think they'll beat Leicester. I know they've got to go to Cardiff as well, which are typically a difficult game. And Preston in the next week or so, and they're still within reach of the playoffs as well, so they'll be pushing.
I think Preston at home, though.
Cardiff's a different, difficult game.
Yeah, but Preston at Saints, I don't know. I think for me now, Hull are the outlier for the playoffs, and I think the other three that are on whatever it is, 63 points together, it's Preston, Coventry and Middlesbrough, I think.
Yeah, right.
I think it's a step too far for them now. You know, they've got to pick up every single point and I just can't see them doing it. I don't see Preston away causing too much of an issue. I think Saints' problem will come down to the fact that they've got a fixture congestion. If you remember, the Preston game should have been played by now and there were fire outside the ground, so it had to be cancelled. Mm. And then there's the Leicester game, I think, was moved for Leicester's FA Cup fixture. So they've got a condensed fixture list, and I think that's where their problems will come from. So the question there is, actually, none of us know exactly what's going to happen over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks. But, Danny, do we think Saints are out of it?
See, I'm on the other side of the fence here, mate, because I was just saying, oh, miss the negative.
Splinters out your ass.
I know plenty of them. They are like a porcupine. I just think if they win Tuesday and they win at the weekend, bang, that's 6 points they've made up. And we're in bad form. This is just, you know, my Leeds TSD that's coming out. And I just feel like that it could come down to the last game in the season. And I wanted it done by the penultimate game at QPR. But in my opinion, I think they're back in it. They've got a surge of form back. And they got, let's be honest, they got really lucky. They scored by a handball in the 99th minute yesterday. They got very lucky.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, to answer your question, I think they could be up there, mate. It all depends on what our form's going to be like. But we have played great for the past five games. Sorry to be a bit down the line.
No. I think, you know, the people that were writing them off were doing so on the basis of our home form and the form that we were in at that point in time four games ago. Our form has really taken a hit. Smarty, is that all down to pressure? Is that down to the other teams fighting for every point and that we just haven't been able to step up to that? We have absolutely dominated Blackburn. It was the most one-sided defeat that you'll see. 75% possession. We had all the play. For me, I don't know what you guys think about it. For me, the man of the match was their keeper. Now, it's awful to say that because he were an absolute prick and he were time-wasting from first minute and should have been dealt with instead of being booked in 84th or 86th or whenever it was. But he pulled off some crackers. Did we do enough to win?
I think so. I think we did. You know, we got into some at points. You know, the first 15, 20 minutes, I thought we were great. You know, that's where their keeper made most of their saves. You know, but not all of them really challenged him. Quite a lot of them were simple, really. There were only a couple that he really had to stretch for. You know, most of them just blazed up at bar or went wide or, you know, fuck it, it was just a bit pathetic. But, you know, when you look at Blackburn, I believe that Blackburn game were our 1-0 Wigan, 10-man Wigan, whatever you want to call it. That's one of them sort of games where you absolutely pelt them and they were so rigid and so defensive. It's our Achilles heel. We just cannot break teams like that down. You know, we've seen it time and time and time again this season. And all of a sudden, oh, fucking hell, we're shit. We can't do this, can't do that. We haven't been able to do it all season. So a team that's come to Elland Road on a must-not-lose basis because they are still fighting. I mean, I'd say they were pretty much safe now. But that's only after having 3 points. They needed them 3 points. I mean, they'd have taken a point absolutely all day. And you could see exactly how they'd set up. And we just can't fight against that. You know, whether that's down to the players not able to do it, or whether that's Fark and his system and how he sets up for them not to be able to break through. We've got a pair of midfielders in the middle that are completely ineffective when it comes to goal scoring. Archie Gray is not going to score goals. Kamara in, and neither is Gruev. So you're relying on 2, 3, 4 players. Bamford, I suppose if it's absolutely nailed on that he's going to score, he'll probably score, otherwise he won't do. You know, Rutter can't score for fucking Toffee. Somerville's having a bit of a dry patch, and we're subbing Dan James for Nonto. Nonto's, you know, every now and again. I actually appreciate the fact that Nonto were actually having to go from outside the box. I think he had a couple of shots from outside the box, and this is what we need to do. But they just don't. You've got Rutter constantly fucking trying to take on three people. He'll lose a ball. Somerville will run into about fucking 3 or 4 defenders and go, oh, no, can't go that way, so I'll come back. Why are we not? Why are we trying to get the ball to the fucking 6-yard box and score from there? It's so fucking frustrating. It really, really pisses me off. You think about Bielsa, and we're always going to go back to them sort of teams. But even other teams, you look at your Monk's leads, you look at everyone else's sort of fucking leads. We all had shots from outside the box. How many fucking goals did Click score in his first sort of year? At least half a dozen long shots. Hence the fucking song. We do not fucking shoot from outside the box, and it's frustrating because they're just a line of fucking people. That keeper's not going to see it for love nor money until right at the last minute. If you stick it in top bins or anywhere near there, he's not getting anywhere near it. But no, we're going to try and fucking nutmeg him from 6 yards out instead. And this is what's really, really frustrating. And don't even get me fucking started on the set pieces. Jesus Christ. We are the second lowest team for scoring in the fucking league at set pieces. How fucking shite is that? We're fucking third in the league. We're trying to get up. We're trying to get promoted. But we cannot score from fucking set pieces. Because we can't get it. Well, free kicks are free kicks, whatever. But as corners are absolutely pathetic. We can't even beat the first man. And if we do, it goes to other side of 18-yard box. They're fucking ridiculous. And the straight down keepers, so even if they do go anywhere near it. There's no, you know, I were always taught, and I'm not a professional fucking footballer by any stretch, but when I used to take corners, I aimed for the penalty spot because it's too far for keeper to come realistically. And that's where your big lads are running in from edge of 18-yard box. Stick a fucking header on it. Joe Rodon, your Ampadus, whoever else is, you know, who's relatively tall, can get... It's just... even if you're having a shot from outside box, there's a fucking shitload of players in front of you that it could take a deflection off. Look at fucking Ipswich.
Yeah.
How many goals have they scored from that sort of play when it's taken a deflection because there's a wall of players in front of them? They've had a go from outside box and it deflects and it's gone in. Yeah, we can't
eight,
do it.
Eight times that's happened. I've seen the stat. They've had eight deflected goals this season and each one of them has probably been a winner. But since we've took 131 corners since December 23rd, which we played against Ipswich, and that was the last game we scored from a corner.
Apparently, so I don't know if this has been updated since the last game.
But, really Ellen Rod review in the Luke, that's why.
Ellen Rod review in the comments says it's 138 now without scoring. So maybe that was plus minus the last game.
April 13th,
but it tracks. It tracks. And you know, going back to that stat about us being second bottom from set pieces, and we've got the best goal difference in the league. And yet the worst scoring record from set pieces. It's, you know, if you add in just a small number of goals from those set pieces, you know, yesterday people were cheering when we were getting a corner. I can't get excited about it because it's just not going to do anything. And the one time we actually looked dangerous from a corner when we took a short one, and then we went back to taking 12, not taking them short either.
It's incredible you say that because I actually, people were fucking, oh, yes, we've got a corner. And I turned to one of the lads and just went, I don't know what the fuck they're cheering for. It's not like we're going to do fuck all from it, is it?
Yeah.
I'll bear my ass on fucking Batley Town Hall steps if we score from a fucking corner this year. No chance.
Right. Clip that, Danny.
Right. Yeah. I'm on it.
Please
do. I'll be
there. I'll fucking do it. If we score from a fucking corner, I will go to Batley Town Hall and I will bear my fucking ass on their steps.
Make sure you bring one of your spanking paddles. The one with the studs on.
I have to make sure my piles are all tucked in nice.
Nice. Luke.
Ooh, my grips.
OKB Luke is in the comments. Majority of Cree's goals come out of the area, haven't they?
They're inside.
Even if they have, I mean, they might be just inside, but he's having a shot from distance rather than it being, you know, trying to score from inside the 6-yard box. But how many has he scored this year? One? Two? You know, he's on 17 goals, but the vast majority of them came in first half of the season, and he's not having the impact now.
I've not said Cree's been shit all season. He's been very, very good. He's our best player. But for the last few weeks, maybe six or seven games, he's been really poor. And last couple have been really poor, and so has Rutter. You know, but you know exactly where Somerville's going because we all go, oh, he's got ball at that position, which he'll fake it, and then he'll run again and run again and hit it.
Yeah.
He'll do about three nudges and then he'll hit it. If I know, as being a fucking fan of watching my team, then people that are sitting in fucking cinema rooms for a week before a game that are actually drilled by the management and everyone that's doing fucking videos and shit, they're going to fucking know about it as well. So they'll know exactly what he does because he does the same thing over and over and over again. Every single time.
And the one thing I would say on that, you know, you mentioned about your analyst beforehand. So I had the pleasure of being a guest of Leeds United yesterday, and I was actually in the press box.
Tell us about
Do you know what? Other than the result, it were amazing. So I wasn't invited. I was a guest because I had bought something in a charity auction. I did, yeah. Bullied my way in. Now, I purchased some tickets on the charity auction. That was a quiz night by LUFC Stats and was in aid of Andy's Man Club, for which I still have my band on for my walk. And for the Leeds United Foundation. And it was a great night, and it raised a couple of grand, I think it was, and you know, there were a fair amount going off. I won some tickets. So in terms of the day, we arrived early on, and we were in the press lounge. So that one with the big Leeds badge on it that Farker does his press conferences in and all of that sort of stuff, the ones before the game. And then we were taken round. You know, I got to walk down the tunnel on match day and walk out into the onto the pitch and whatever else. That was ace. Big shout out to Jordan, by the way, the media manager, who has replaced somebody that Jordan wasn't highly thought of. But he was spot on. Walked us around. You know, we walked past Farker in tunnel. Saw Jimmy.
Fucking eye.
We saw Jimmy. We saw Gruev warming up. You know, the goalkeepers are massive. We didn't see Melier up close, but we did meet the other two, and they are tall. So Jordan must be about 6'6". He's a tall fella, and he was walking his round. We walked around the corner, it was like we were being in Land of Giants. Clarkson's massive. I mean, a lot of that is hair, admittedly.
Yes, sir.
but they are big boys. So, but then we went up So I wasn't on the gantry. There's a press box element that's kind of directly below the gantry bit. So I did have my little screen so that I would be able to be, see some
ding,
of
ding,
the
ding, ding, ding,
replays. Yeah, that's the one. That's it. So, yeah, we're in that position. And I think one of the things that actually came across was, one, the amount of equipment that's up there. So I was having a massive geek out because it was ace. Because there's just kit everywhere. And it's like, wow. But the other thing was the army of analysts. So each away side brings 5 or 6 different analysts. They're all there walkie-talkied up. They're looking at the game. They're looking at the setup. They're looking at the approach. Leeds have got another army of analysts as well. And they're all radio connected to the management team at any given point. And then they go into the dressing room at half-time and talk about the shape of the side and runs that they should have been making or runs that are leaving them open and all of that sort of stuff. There's so much goes into that analysis of the game. I just wanted to touch on that point is, you know, if we as fans can really see something that seems to us really obvious, then it's definitely picked up by people that do that day in, day out for a living. It's not just on match days. It's going back and looking at the videos of the previous games and, you know, looking at the form and looking at the layout and the setup. And there's so much science and there's so much mechanic to it that, it's kind of unbelievable to see it in operation. Yesterday was absolutely brilliant other than just the result. that was the main issue, and the other issue being that in the press lounge we had a nice breakfast, you know, they gave us sausage omelette and beans, and that were nice. Mm-hmm. And we had HP, so that were good, and there were drinks and stuff, but none of those drinks were beer, and it was a match, so you know that were a bit of a we managed to sneak out actually and get onto main concourse for a beer before kickoff. And then I went out into town after the game. Well, we went into Peacock, didn't we? We met Mr. Butternubs, who is a fine, upstanding gentleman. And we had a couple there, and then went into town for Emily Render's birthday. And it was my birthday this week as well. So we got absolutely battered. All in all, it was a great day other than the result.
Yeah. Well, at least you had a nice time. And we all had a nice time in the Peacock afterwards, apart from Jay. Who looked like he was going to throw himself under a bus at the nearest opportunity. Bless him.
That damaged the bus.
He could probably run under a bus, to be fair.
Well, he is a natural sprinter, as we've covered before.
Russ Vernon, there he is. I was literally... I've got the thing out on my phone. Ready. You're too slow. I've just seen Chris Kamara tweet that he's presented the EFL Young Player of the Year to LUFC's talented star, Archie Gray.
Yeah, you will find that about an hour ago, our Autonauts Better official account tweeted that out. And congratulated.
It's just a couple of things I've got ready, but Russ, there he is. Shit house is here then.
This one.
I don't know why.
Bless him.
He's rubbish. If Premier League's a watch, he's rubbish. He's crap.
Yeah, he's shit. Don't bother. He's absolute shit.
Anyway. He smells.
I think we've kind of covered this a little bit, but just to go back to it. I think you'd have to be stupid to look at that and look at our lack of impact up front and think that Bamford should remain on the bench, right? Is that fair, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, we've got just touching on what Smarty said.
Just to give some context to that, I'm going to flash up this comment who says that it was Jay saying that he must remain on the bench. And, you know, that's just madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen? And I'm just going to cut you off right quick. If Matteo Joseph starts for fucking Leeds and does fucking shit and don't do anything, what then? Because Pirro's shit, Bamford's shit, then fucking Joseph will be shit and everyone will go, oh, fucking hell, we're out of options now. What on earth are we going to do? Anyway, carry on, Danny.
Joseph to start. Cheers, Marty. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I think with Joseph, right, I think people see him as like the Gilhart this season, or oh, he did well, he scored against Chelsea. Yeah, he did, but you know, the thing is, with that first goal against Chelsea, he took it first on instinct, too much time and all that kind of stuff. But we need to go. Bamford has the experience, he knows how to drag centre backs out of the covering thing. And for me, you'd be using Joseph in the last 25 minutes for half an hour just to tie them out more, get them runs in. Pirro, at one point yesterday, I saw him slide a tackle at the halfway line and he went out for a throw-in. down near our penalty area in line with that. And I was just like, what do we do with Perreault? Because I've no idea. But I think Bamford comes back in. If anything, I'd drop Rutter. I've been an advocate of dropping Rutter for the past two games now. Not publicly, but...
Leeds hitting bastard. You
know, well, Leeds hits me at the minute.
Leeds hit everyone, mate.
Yeah, especially my hairline. But I just think... I've seen it a few times in the comments and I've seen it online. I won't be so pressed to say it's not a bad shout from Bonto to go in the 10 because he did look like he had the energy and he was the only one shooting yesterday, not scared to have a dig. And he just looked like he had that passion for me. But to answer your question, Gilly, I think he starts me personally. Just change Rutter.
Yeah, okay. So I guess to an extension of the point you were making earlier, Smarty, so I'll come back to you and make sure that I've understood it right, is actually, don't matter who you play up front if you don't have the players behind them creating effectively and therefore it's there that we need to look rather than the nine.
That's exactly it, mate. If you don't have the support and if you don't have the fucking crosses coming in, Bamford were more effective when he used to have people and these were the scripted players that Bielsa used to play, that they'd run like fuck to the edge of the frigging pitch and cut it back straight across into the 18-yard box and there'd be two or three players there ready to just tuck it in. And the amount of times we scored from doing that was unreal. We don't do that anymore. We don't do anymore.
Because it's only as good as his service.
Well, exactly. And this is what I'm saying. You know, like, I am not an advocate for Bamford, but I don't see a better player to start a game. And I still don't to this day. You know, we've got people in the comments, and this isn't a dig at people in the comments because I understand where their thoughts are. But there's like Blaze Roy in the comments, what about Joffe, the next Wayne Rooney was at Wigan apparently. This is how desperate people are getting now. Joffe hadn't had a fucking absolute bloody looking for all season, and yet people are pining for him to start frigging, you know, well, seeing him on pitch or not specifically starting, you know, in the first 11, but to see him coming in as well is like, he's well and truly gone off the boil. He won't be here at the end of the season. Joffe will not be here at the end of the season. I think he'll be gone. Whether that's a Farke decision or whether that's, you know, a decision for him and his growth as a player, because he won't want to be carrying on, you know, not playing and not getting any game time. But this is what happens. You see, we've had a bit of a dip. We're not playing that bad, really. It's just the final third where we're really struggling, and yet people are so desperate that they're making outlandish and outrageous frigging suggestions that we should. And this is, again, it's not a dig at people. It's just Joffe, man.
Why'd you wait our watches, Smarty?
You what?
Why do you hate people?
Like I said, it's not a dig. I understand where they're going with it. I just think that's fucking desperate. If you ask me, that's really, really desperate. If you're looking for Joffe to start fucking coming in as well, it's like, nah, mate.
And I'm not 100% sure whether he was saying that he should start. I think Luke's making
No, but I'm saying him so, and others have made say, what about Joffe? What about Joffe? I've seen it a few times in the comments.
Yeah, you are right in general principle, but I think that specific comment might have been, we are overhyping our youngsters and we need to start, you know, taking a bit of the pressure off rather than building the pressure up.
People, you know, wanting too many different, you know, players, and what about him? We could start him, we could do this and we could do that. We'll be playing fucking Rodon up front at some point. You know, at the end of the day, we're at the crutch of the league now. We do not want to be making stupid rash decisions like we'll play him, we'll swap him, we'll pull him out. You've got no consistency. At the end of the day, the starting 11, which we all would probably pick, really, and that includes Kamara to a degree, he's just not playing that well. You would pick that team every single time, but because they're not playing that well, because we're not gelling, we're not doing what we've done for so long since January, people are going, oh, fuck, it's all gone to shit, burn it all, start again. And it's like, no, we need to just... fucking go back to basics. He's got until next Monday now. It's a long time for him to get them players in, you know, to get some good training, get some recovery and start again against Middlesbrough. And I think, I hope that we will do. But, you know, I don't even fucking look at Twitter anymore. My head's not even fucking there to even be asked fucking, you know, talking to people on Twitter because of all the...
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Out of the friggin' woodwork.
It's ridiculous. I think you are right. I was just about to flash that up.
Kamara
as well.
And Gruev don't work. What the fuck? See, what the fuck is that fucking? What the fuck is that? Kamara and Gruev don't work. We're on a fucking 13-win fucking streak. For fuck's sake, have a fucking word with yourself, you tit. Fuck's sake. Fucking Gruev and Kamara don't work. Fucking hell. This is what I mean, like. And it's not no offense to you, Dr. Cox. I'm sure you're a fucking standout guy, but that's a load of fucking shite right there, man. Fuck off.
I mean,
I'm as pissed off as fucking anyone. But saying shit like that, mate, is just going to fucking trigger the shit out of me, clearly. You know what I mean? Fuck me. It don't work.
You know what, Danny? I'm going to struggle. I'm going to struggle to get this short down to a minute. Some of the stuff
thanks
I'm
for coming on, Danny.
just put the episode out. Just put it all out. Yeah, just a little thing on Joseph, right? If the pressure's so big now, why would he put a young lad in such a vital stage of the season? Do you know what I mean? Why if he's not going to start him when games didn't matter and bring him off the team, why would he start someone? Yeah, you know, in my eyes, probably Farker didn't want to go through in the cup anyway. That's why he started Joseph, to give him minutes. But I don't see Farker switching it all up for the last three games. He tried some out yesterday. We was all happy about it. To some extent, it worked. Nonto were, you know, vigorous, taking shots and stuff like that. Made the wrong substitutions. You know, it's subjective, whichever way you think. I won't go on too much, but that Gruev and Kamara don't work. It's worked. It's worked at all. This is, you know, January and stuff like that. Sorry, I don't agree with that. But
and nobody saw that coming, did they? That, you know, that were a record-breaking run. That was the best run we've been on as a club since
in 90 years,
99 or something mad.
Yeah.
And I think there is a point of balance as well to be understood, because you look at Gruev, you look at Rutter, and you look at Nonto, and very recently they were all injured. You know, the Welsh players might be affected by the Euro shite as well. Yeah, maybe. But
I do believe it. Honestly, I think so.
You know, if Farker has in mind, right? Okay, I know that I can get an hour out of this player. It's going to start them, but then take them off, because otherwise he's actually putting them at risk of further injury, and we still need them. So, you know, it might be that he didn't have a desire to make those changes and to take Willie Nonto off, who for me was our best attacking force, and you know, Rutter we've seen have poor games and still get two assists and a man of the match performance in the end, that sort of thing. It might have been that Farker didn't want to make those changes, but felt he didn't really have a choice, because otherwise he's risking players that he's going to need in the next three games. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, there's an element of balance, but I also think there is an element of balance around let's not get to a point where we are so reactive, because we are in a position where, do you know what? It won't be the end of the world if we don't get promoted. It just won't. Yeah, we'll have another season here.
It's been a great season. It's been an absolutely fantastic season. It really, really has.
Record-breaking season.
Yeah.
People are losing their minds. It's like I said to you guys, didn't I? And I've said to so many fucking people, enjoy this while it happens and while it is happening. Because if we go up, it will not be like this. It will be fucking shit again. And we'll get pumped more often than not. So I don't mind losing a game every now and again. You know, the crux of the fucking league now, it's getting hot. You know, there's teams down at the bottom of the table that are fighting for survival. And there's teams in the middle that are just playing with freedom because they don't give a shit. They don't give a toss whether they... So these are hard teams to beat. It's always the same at the end of the season. Always the same. The top teams always struggle against the bottom teams because they want it more. And the top teams... Well, you know, this is a bit of a unique season, like we say. You know, there's not that many fucking points getting won between the top teams, you know. But it's like... It's going to be hard. We're never going to be fucking easy.
Yeah,
Look at where we are. You know, there's three, potentially four now with Southampton's, you know, us slipping up, Southampton coming back into it. There's never been a season like this before.
Yeah, never. Not with so many,
it happens that it's us, obviously, in the mix of it, because of course it is. But, you know, it's, I think people just need to chill the fuck out. I really
yeah,
do. And Steve Brown's made a fucking fantastic point, and I know other people have about Nonto as well. I can't get my head around it. I'm sure none of you guys can either. So, fuck knows. It's all gone
to
shit.
You have to, just on that point, Smitty, you have to look where we were as well. We were 17 points behind Leicester. Well,
yeah, but and now this is what
we're
I mean.
One point behind.
But the thing where's is, Steve it's like, Brown's now we're to now we're starting to... Hey?
Where's Steve Brown's comment? I can't see it.
The one that I just showed up.
Oh, they grew everyone.
Yeah, that's it. That
right, okay, yeah.
But like I say, you know, we were playing catch-up with, you know, we were so far behind, 17 points behind, and we were playing with freedom, we were together, you know, didn't have any injuries, we didn't have any mentally affected people, you know, being dropped or dumped out of the Euros qualifiers. And now we're getting that pressure because we have to maintain this form now. We have to maintain this level of consistency, which we haven't, but neither of the other three, well, the other two.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing it not just in our league, but in the Premier League as well. It happens to top teams. There's that much pressure now. We're at the right at the nitty gritty end of the season now, and there's massive pressure because not one of them teams wants to finish in the frigging playoffs. Everyone wants to get promoted. Massive, yeah. Massive pressure.
You know? And it is that thing. So, you know, we made the point a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? That the reason that there's pressure now is because there's something to lose. It's like being 1-0 up going into 80th minute. And you know that there's a side that's going to be coming at you. And you've got something to lose, and that in itself builds pressure. But you look at Liverpool this week, they're absolutely battered midweek and then beaten at home when the last side to do that were us, 18 months ago or whatever it was, by Crystal Palace. You know, nobody saw that coming, and pressure does weird things. You know, Luke said it in our group chat, didn't he, in our WhatsApp weeks ago. Pressure does weird things, and we're going to see weird things happening. There's more twists and turns to come. But ultimately, I'm quite zen about it because I've really enjoyed this season. I think I'll enjoy next season if you're not promoted. And I think I'll hate next season if we are promoted. The only thing is, we're in a position where we'll end up getting asset stripped if we stay at this level too long. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it comes down to finance. You need to be in the Premier League.
I don't think that'll happen. If we miss out on it, we'll go up as champions next year.
No,
I firmly believe that.
Said the same, and I do believe that. What I'm saying is, if we were to miss out next season, you could stay down this season and miss out next season. At some point, the money will just kick in, and we won't be able to sustain, and we'll end up being asset stripped, and our crown jewels be sold.
Then again, you look at the 49ers and the way that they're planning on, you know, taking over, and the PSR ruling, you know, that's changing again at the end of the season because that's an absolute load of shite as well. So we don't know where we're going to be in a few months, do we? But with massive investment from the 49ers, that's another cash injection. We will be selling players, hopefully not at a loss, but that again, you know, profit and sustainability regulations, etc. You know, these guys know what they're doing. We're not playing under Chiellini or fucking Rads and his mate anymore. You know, the 49ers will have planned for all this. There will be money in the bank to spend over the next few seasons or whatever. But like I say, we can worry about that. We don't need to be, you know, thinking about that just yet. Let's get this fucking season over and done with now. And I firmly believe that we will turn this around. I really, really do. Because
we're still going up this season?
I think we still go up in Automax, yeah. I think we do. And do you know what? Every single podcast that you watch, and I've been watching quite a few over this weekend, Leicester fans are shitting themselves, Ipswich fans are shitting themselves, Southampton fans aren't convinced either. You know, the only ones that are playing with a bit of zazz and all that sort of stuff, and the teams that are in the frigging mid-table now, we're not going down, fuck it. We're not going up either. Let's just have some fun. Just like we did in the first season of the Premier League. We avoided relegation. We knew we weren't getting relegated, and that's when we played our best football. We nearly finished in frigging Europe after that. And those are the teams that you've got to look out for. And Ipswich have got to play a few, and so do Leicester and Southampton. So,
well, look at our history against Derby, and then look what we did to them at the end of the season while the players were pissed because they didn't have any pressure on them. We'd already won it. So that's to give us a guard of honour. And then we just absolutely played them off the park when our players were at about 60% because there was just no pressure.
Yeah.
And the relief of that pressure is then it's like a weight's lifted, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So there will be feeling the pressure. And, you know, you look at Liverpool, you look at Arsenal getting beaten at home today by Villa. You know, Arsenal are pushing for the Premier League title. And, you know, it were a fairly even game, and then Villa beat them at the end. But you know, nobody expected both Arsenal and Liverpool to go get beat today, and it does show. It is telling that that pressure is there, and that, that there's a relentless nature to this point of the season when you're trying to go for titles. So
Dr. Cox has made a good point. 49ers won't sell on the cheap. Pay up or shut up will be the way it works. It absolutely will do. Because I believe that they'll, unless a big money, you know, like you said, money talks, unless big sort of offers come in for them sort of players, they're not going to be obliged to get rid of them.
Only but it's still asset stripping, isn't it? It's still... Maybe asset stripping is not the right term, because asset stripping tends to be owners acting in their own interests and not a club. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the wrong terminology. What I'm basically saying is we'll see a lot of our talent pushing to leave.
Maybe so.
They want to push themselves at the top level. So we might get a lot of money in. Get a lot of money in, and then you can try and go and replace them. But the longer you're a championship side, the more difficult it becomes to try and get players that are capable at Premier League level.
The thing is now as well, like obviously we're obviously thinking about this sort of stuff now. Oh, it's all gone to fucking shit. We're going to lose all those players. That spreads negativity within the fan base. It does. You know, so you'll be thinking, if Somerville or Rutter continue to play poorly and do so over the next few weeks, they'll be like, oh, well, he's got an eye on door, hasn't he? Because he wants to fuck off now, he wants to leave. And that is exactly the way that people think, and they will.
Leeds fans, as you know, we've been through a lot as a club and fans, right?
And you've been through a lot of Leeds fans, have you?
That's for, on another channel. Subscribe to my OnlyDans. Yeah, no, like we project our own fears and insecurities onto the internet. That's what most fans do. You know, especially the trolls, you know, the faceless trolls. We're rubbish, we're not going up. That's because they want to be right in that insecurity. And it's that's not always that fact. Yeah.
It's not a troll, it's just Jay.
That sort of thing is like, some fans just like, oh, that's rubbish, I'm not going to support these anymore. Well, that's, you know, that's your thing, do that. But it's not fact. You know, we can't control what that team does on the pitch. It's beyond our control. As soon as you start realising that, the better you will feel. And I'm sure that's what Gilly does. Because, you know, you're zen about it, aren't you?
I am. I am pretty zen about it. Because what'll happen will happen. And we can't change it. We're just along for the ride. We're just trying to hang on. We can't change things. You know, we go along and we give our support where we can, and you buy your shirt and you do whatever else. But ultimately, an individual, you know, football is nothing without fans. I think all of the fans understand that, even if the businesses associated with football sometimes miss it. But ultimately, when it comes right down to it, there's very little an individual fan can do to change the course of the game or the league or whatever else. You know, you're limited in what you can do. We're just hanging on. We're just along for the ride.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got to enjoy it. Like I say, you know, Evie's said a good point here. She says, I think that's where we'll play better away from home. Travelling fans are usually more supportive than home fans. Not a dig at home fans, but pressure at Elland Road is a lot to handle. It is. You can tell, even when they scored, when Blackburn scored, it was like you could hear a pin drop from our fans. And that's not good for our players. I'm not going to start saying, no, all those fans are shit. But they play with a little bit more freedom. And I do think that Middlesbrough will try and give us a good game. You know, they'll see that we're stalling a little bit. They might fancy the chances. It is a big game for them. You know, it's a relatively big game for us as well, Borough. You know, over the last few, you know, 10 or so years, we've had some good games with them. We'll go to the Riverside and hopefully we'll put a good performance in. They'll try and play us as well because they won't be shivered in shy talks behind fucking at their place either. And it should be a good game. If we play well and if they try to play against us, we will beat them.
No, this is the thing. Either.
You look at our last few, you know, our last few games. We've got obviously Borough on the Monday, and then we've got QPR away on the Friday.
Yes, yeah.
Friday. QPR are going to be fighting for survival again, so they're going to have to. I mean, that's literally, you know, penultimate game of the season. The QPR at home against it. They are going to, if they might be up shit creek without a paddle, they will have to try and beat us, and they will fucking suffer for it.
And then just while you mentioned it, his name came up. He's fair play to a Mr. Luke Ayling, booked in the 93rd minute for time wasting in a 1-1 draw against Ipswich. Yeah, that'll do.
You absolutely know he's
on purpose. Yeah, big time. And Elland Road Review's right. Did everyone go over and vote for Ayling in their Player of the Season award? I certainly did. And it doesn't ask you to verify your email either. So,
good.
Might be able to do it more than once.
And that's the thing about Middlesbrough as well. They're going to be without Greenwood and Ayling. Yeah. Two of their starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point that Danny just made, if you'd been listening.
Yeah, I know. I'm just reiterating it.
The only thing I can see is that they've got Frothy Coffee it. Up top, haven't they? Latte Laugh. Or Frothy Coffee up there. I think he's the only threat for me. And, you know, you take away Greenwood with the assist machine for them. Bill, none of that ailing flop against us until after this season. But they are up there in terms of form. You know what I mean? They've won a few and they've drawn a few and they're really good in form.
Yeah, they're unbeaten in five.
You know what I mean? And hopefully this is a corner that we can turn now. Knowing Leeds, we'll win the next three now. Do you know what I mean? We'll just win the next three, just all in a row. But
I think if we're in the next three, I think we're up in automatics without a doubt. I do not see anybody doing that. And if anybody does do that, they will go up and they'll deserve to.
It's hard to believe that the season's over and just shot end of next week, is it? About a week after?
Yeah, but it feels like it's been 2 years long, doesn't it?
Oh, no, yeah. 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 I had long flowing hair. Yeah, we're down here when I started podcasting.
we've sort of touched upon it, but just before we finish, I just wanted to ask about the starting lineup for the next game. So I guess we can all agree that we're going to go Melier.
Yes.
Given that Connor Roberts will have, what is it, 10 days or something, and he started the last game, so even if there were a little bit of a rough edge around his return to fitness and so on after his injury, it's probably expected he's going to be available to start. Connor Roberts at right back? Go with that?
I was thinking, do you put Archie Gray back in at right back and play Kamara and switch the two back to Albert Ward? Because I think Archie looked really tired me. I just did. I thought he were better at right back. And Connor Roberts, I like him because he gives that impetus and attacking threat, you know. But for me, I think I'd want to go Archie Gray right back.
And Connor Roberts did have a good effort from edge of box. He were on his left, and the keeper got both hands to it. So it's not like it were an outrageous save, but it was decent effort, and we were short on them, as Smarty pointed out. Smarty, would you go Roberts? Would you go Gray? Where are you going on that?
I don't know. I think if I were to do it, I think I'd go back to the basic lineup that we expect to see or that we've seen for so long. So I probably would put Gray back at right back, yeah. And I think I'd bring Kamara back into the centre.
So if I just fly through then, instead of going player by player, I'll just fly through. We've got Melier, we'll go Gray at right back, Rodon and Ampadu in the middle, Firpo left back, with a midfield pairing of Gruev and Kamara. We got Somerville, Router, Nonto, James.
No. I start Nonto.
This is where we check. But do you start Nonto at the 10, as had been said earlier on?
Is this what we hope to fucking see, or is this what we expect to see?
No.
What we hope to see.
I think we can name the starting lineup, because the starting lineup is going to be everything that I've just said, and then Router in the middle. It's going to be Somerville on left. It's going to be either Dan James or Nonto. That's the one for me that you can't necessarily get. I think it'll probably be James. And I think it'll be Bamford up front. But so this is our desire rather than our expectation.
It's a difficult one because I would expect, like I say, if we had another game in quick succession, say we had another game on Tuesday night, I would drop a few. I'd take some of it out. I would take Rutter out. But because we're not, and I think that he'll have a bit of time with him, a bit of recovery, and hopefully some fucking grilling on the training pitch, I would start the same lineup. So I would have Rutter. I would have. I probably would start Nonto actually, because he looked more dangerous than Dan James. So I probably would start with Nonto on the right, Somerville on the left, Bamford up front.
You'd stick with Somerville even after the conversation we've had about.
Well, like I say, you know, if it were a quick succession game, I would drop him. But I think given the fact that we've got a fair old period of time between, obviously, the last game and this next game, I'd like to think that Fark might be able to iron out a few crinkles and fucking give him a slap round head. But like I said, Somerville seems to you know, we've played a couple of games now, a fair few games where we've played really defensive teams, you know, and they are doubling up on him, on both Rutter and Somerville. So they've not been that effective. Yeah. They haven't been able to do what they normally do, but they've consistently and persist with doing exactly what they've done for however long, you know, through the season, but to little or no effect. Whereas I think Borough will try and give us a game. They will be rested as well, our lads. I think we turn it around a bit at the Riverside. I think we'll give them a good game.
You know, okay. I was going to say put none to win the 10, but I forgot that we've got quite a few days off, haven't we?
We have.
So I'd probably go with that as well. I'd probably start Rutter. Maybe with this break that Rutter will have, he can rest up, you know, start being pain-free. Because he's been rubbish since the operation. Can we put the hernia back? He's played better with it.
But he didn't. Funny.
Somerville on the left, Rutter at 10, and Nonto on the right for me, with Paddy up top. But I was going to say, if anybody was wondering, Somerville, Nonto, and James, and then Bamford. That would be the only change for me, I think.
I'd go with that. If we were playing like Tuesday, like I said, I think I'd go with that. Probably.
Yeah. And I'd like to see Kamara back. I think he'll have, because he didn't play much. Did he come on? I can't even remember.
No, he didn't come on.
I think he's still on toilet, isn't he? Yeah, from what I've heard. In number two. I think I like Kamara. A lot of people don't like him, but I think his passing is great when he's on the ball. But other than that, I think that's...
When Kamara's on it, he's on it. When we face defensive teams, he's shit. Because he does his shimmy shake, and he'll pass it backwards or to the side. Because when you look at, if he's got space around him, he's really quite progressive with the ball. You know, he'll shimmy shake. He'll send someone for a fucking hot dog, and he'll be gone. And they'll be looking to play Rutter, or he'll be looking to play out to wings or whatever. But when you've got a fucking line of people in front of you, he's like, well, I can't beat them like that. If the shimmy shake doesn't work, then I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pass it back to someone else. And then Ampadu will play a fucking stupid ball, and then it'll be cut out, and then we'll be under attack. And that's exactly how
can you imagine having a dance-off with Kamara on someone's wedding's dance floor?
Them hips. Them hips. Like Shakira. In fact, I might start calling him fucking Shakira, actually. Them hips don't lie.
It's the old drag the ball back and shimmy forward.
Mate, I tell you, I do it on a Monday night all the time. I've got like Happy Gilmore, man.
I've seen the footage of Gilly dancing at a wedding, and I tell you what,
Matty was there. It wasn't a wedding; it was actually the Christmas do at Leeds.
Yeah, we had a do at the pavilion, and I saw them hips, mate. Women would die for those hips of Matthew.
Do they bring the milkshakes to the yard?
They're greasy.
Oh, you're making me flush.
Yeah.
So
were the hips.
In terms of the starting lineup, I think we've done that to death. I think we know where it's almost like this period is a bit of a reset, isn't it? It's not often you get a 10-day without players going off on internationals and whatever else. It's not often you get 10 days to just kind of reset and for Farke to be able to just bring it back to. Having said that, the opposition's getting the same. You know, it's not just us. Burrow in that same position, albeit without a couple of their players because they're on loan from us.
If he's not having the hips don't lie, by the way. She says those hips do lie. They are telling us that Kamara will shoot, and then we find out that he never will. I mean, we all know that he won't shoot. I mean, I think he scored one goal ever, and that were in like a semi-final or final for Rangers, didn't he? I think he does not score goals. He's just not that sort of player. He could be fucking 6 yards in front of
him. Neither would David Batty, and I still love him.
And he'll pass it to the side, you know what I mean?
He's not that sort of player. He doesn't have a circle button. Play
them on people. And do you know what? One of the disappointments, don't get me wrong, before we go into this and before I say these words, I love him. I think he's great. And I never wanted to fall in love with a lone player again, and I have. It's happened. And that's happened with a couple of them because I love both of the guys. But Rodon needs to score goals.
I know. From like set pieces and everything. Yeah, he's been really unlucky. He's been really, really unlucky. But if we took a fucking corner properly, instead of fucking flicking it to some wanker's fucking first post or spooning the fucker for a throw-in at the other side of Bastard Field, we'd be sound. We got Somerville, who I don't know what the fuck he does like, but Jesus Christ, he's terrible.
Why is he on?
Connor Robertson better. And fucking Gruev looks like he gets his Forrest Gump leg and fucking flicks at it or whatever. It's shite, man. It's fucking wank. Get it on big meat, head at back. Bash! You want a Sol Bamba, head at back? Get it fucking in there. We just don't have it, do we? Maybe we could bring Gary Monk back as like a set piece coach, because it used to work really well under there, you know.
Yeah, that guy back from Spurs that he went to, that we had. I think we mentioned him in the last podcast we did.
But you remember like Kyle Bartley and Pontus Janssen and that? We used to score quite frequently. Yeah. Cooper as well. Cooper could.
I mean, we still always.
I'm not saying start Cooper. Jesus Christ.
Strike as well.
Yeah. Strong. We're missing him.
We're not.
What do you reckon to Smodics as a player will fit the lead system?
Smodics is a weird one. It's a strange one because, right, you can't take away what he's done this season. He's in an abject team. They are shite. They're absolutely diabolical. They've got a big donkey up front, albeit somebody that we struggled with. But and he's kind of, he plays with eight, but it's more an 8/10 role that he plays. And he's doing it very, very effectively in a really poor team. And I don't think that can be detracted from. He's doing really well. But he did give me vibes of a Sunday league player that was too good for the level that he were at, that just loves being big fish, small pond. And, the challenge will be going into a bigger club. You know, if he came to us or Leicester or wherever, maybe not Southampton, because, you know, they're kind of a different setup, I think. But us or Leicester or any of the Premier League teams, he won't be able to play in that way. So I think that'll be a really interesting transition if he goes to step up to a different club as to whether he'll be able to deal with that, because it does give me them vibes of he wants to be the main man. And this season he's been that. But being somewhere else and not being able to do that, I think he's 28. It's by far the best season he's ever had.
I think we've been burned by buying the fucking best of the championship anyway with Pirro. I think that'll scar the recruitment fucking boys for life, that one. Mm. He's just hadn't been effective, has he? He's not been what we expected him to be anyway.
No.
There's a video going around at the minute it's called Still Ryan's Like an Everton Fan. And you were playing record or something with Smodics last
Stop
night.
Stop copying me, Evie.
And he basically said, and he's still Ryan said, are you going to score tomorrow? And he went, 100% I'll score. He went wrong in the end, really. I thought it was a bit cocky, but it is what it is. And I was like, that should maybe hit him even more.
That's kind of my point, though. He is a bit cocky and there's a bit ego. And do you know what? In a season when you're, what, 4 or 5 clear of everybody else in goal scoring charts, fair play. The point at which you can have that. But if it's burgeoning confidence, that's one thing. Oh. And if it is genuine ego, that's something else. You know, when you look at Henri when he was in his pomp, you know, the confidence just oozed from him. And why wouldn't it? Because he was amazing. And a lot of people saw that and went, oh, he's just ego. But he was worth it because he was that good. But if you can translate that into winning titles and, you know, playing well in Europe, fair play. But, you know, that doesn't really go for somebody that's top scorer of the championship and hasn't been in the Premier League. So, you know, you've got to balance it out.
Bit of breaking news, if I may add some news. Jorginho, Cree and Ethan Ampadu have been named in the Sky Bet Championship Team of the Season.
Fucking very good. Brilliant. Yeah, very good. As they should. They've had good seasons. They have had good seasons. I don't know where you're going.
I don't think it's going to get that much applause or credential or credibility at this moment in time, though, should I say. It'll be like, yeah.
Well, it will do if we go up.
If we go up, it'll be like, oh, yeah, but at a minute, it's just like, shit ass.
Yeah. If anything, it's a distraction at this point, isn't it? And yeah, it's always seemed a bit strange to me that they would do it before the season's end.
See, that might give them a bit of a boost. Oh, fucking hell, the people actually, you know, I've actually done all right. You don't know.
At the same time,
the impression?
If we're saying that actually Jimmy's doing too much and actually he's playing with a bit of ego, is that only going to underscore that and you're going to see a bit more of it? Well, I've won.
Who knows?
I'm in team at season doing what I'm doing, so I'm just going to keep doing it. So
yeah. Sorry to cut you off then.
It's all right, go on.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes you need that ego. If you believe in yourself, you can do that, but there is a line in which you do it across, you know, like Tyson Fury, you know, how he talks about himself and stuff like that. That kind of thing. But that's
and he doesn't respect his opponents either, and he's a giant prick that's been ducking every big fight for years.
Yeah.
That'll rattle something comments. Right. Okay. So I'm all done in terms of the things I wanted to discuss. I don't think, yes, we do actually. So I'm just going to pick this up. Andy's Man Club Leeds. So Friday 26th, pool night at Northern Snooker starting at 6:30 p.m. Beyond the tables upstairs. There is a request for small donations to the tables. It's not essential. If you don't have anything, don't miss out on going. Go along and you'll be welcomed. And Sunday the 28th at Barber Club at W2 Barbers on Easterly Road from 11 till 3. Come down, get your haircut, have a chat with all proceedings going to AMC. More events coming in May. Anything you guys would like to discuss at this point? Speak now, forever hold your peace.
I think I've said enough today.
Can I drop an F-bomb? Want to.
Huh? What?
Can I drop an F-bomb?
Yeah, if you want.
Well, I've done about 15 tonight, mate, so...
Fuck the refs. The refs have been appalling. That's all I've just got. I've wanted to get that in there. Fuck the refs and the EFL. Fuck them all.
Yeah, corrupt bastards.
That's it. Yeah. Horrible. Did you see the penalty that Town got conceded against?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I put it out there.
They are just shit. So I tweeted midweek. I can't remember exactly what the terminology I used was, but for me, the PGMOL itself is on borrowed time because at some point, the EFL and the Premier League are going to go, you're damaging our brand too much. Mm-hmm. And the PGMOL is funded directly by the FA, the Premier League and the EFL. If they stop funding them, they cease to exist. Now, we need referees for the game, but the PGMOL itself, it's just an abhorrent failure right now. There is nothing that it's getting right. The refs aren't doing the right thing. The changes they're making to the game aren't working. The technology they're bringing in is implemented badly. However good the technology is, the implementation of it's shite. PGMOL itself, as an organisation, is nothing but an abject failure. So for me, that's on borrowed time. So you're absolutely right to call out. Fuck the refs. Agreed.
Yeah.
And the flag nonsense.
And the flag nonsense. Oh, you mean absolutely. The lines
the linesman. No, lines person, yes.
Rather than flag nonsense that exist on Twitter.
Yeah, not that one.
Fair enough. On that note, we will bid you adieu. Thank you very much for joining us, Danny.
Excellent.
Thank you very much for your time.
Keep smiling, Danny. You. Keep smiling, mate. We'll be right.
And thank you, everybody. Thank you everybody in the comments. Smarty, I've already asked you, you've already given me answer. Danny, are we getting promoted this season?
Yes we are. Why not, eh? Just for a laugh. Let's go up. Just because we can.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Cheers, gents. Gritted teeth. See you later.
See you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.